Okay, William. Hey, good evening. Oh, I have a great time. I can now tell chapter one of Uncle Key's Cafe. I know you've been waiting for this one. This is Uncle Key revealed, but maybe not. So here's where we're going to start the story. So you remember the prologue? I had introduced Gustave Panier, or GP, to his friends, and how he made it all the way up to Apple Knoll, and he climbed out of his car, and he was rapidly walking up to Uncle Key. So let's step back a little bit, scroll back, and we'll just tell you what happened just before that. And first of all, we have to tell you about Uncle Key. Now, Uncle Key is a very eccentric old guy. He's got his own mind, his own. He can be cranky sometimes, or he can be the most wonderful, delightful person in the world sometimes. I guess just like everybody. His real name is Ciaran, Ciaran O'Silywine. And Ciaran O'Silywine was a professor of neurological information sharing and intercell communication at Washama Gumption University for years and years and years and years. He was very well known, very well known. As a matter of fact, he was the man who hired Dr. Timothy O'Toole, Timothy Talltale, because he said this guy is smart. And as a matter of fact, he was the PhD advisor for Tara O'Toole Talltale. Now, of course, she had also gotten her medical degree and her JD, or Juris Doctorate, so she was pretty smart, but she was one of the best PhD students he'd ever had. But there came a point when research and teaching in Washama Gumption University politics was, he retired. And what did he do when he retired? He moved to a little town way up in the mountains, and he did what he loved best. He cooked. And he opened a cafe called Uncle Key's Cafe. Only with the key, he didn't have KI, because that key, after all, he had the Japanese kanji for tree, which is also key. So it's kind of a pun, but it's also, he is a tree. So I'll get a picture of that if I can. So anyway, Uncle Key had closed down his restaurant for the morning because he was going to put up a brand new Uncle Key's Cafe sign, and he was going to paint his door. He's going to paint it red, make it a beautiful door. So he'd taken out all his signs and stuck them inside the restaurant for safekeeping, and he was standing outside painting his door just happily, a bright sunny late morning day in the mountains. It was smelling great. The birds were singing. He could hear them. He could hear the waterfalls in the distance. And up walked a little party of people. He looked down the street, and his eyes widened, because who did he see but his favorite student, Tara O'Toole Talltale. Dr. Ta O'Toole Talltale to you and me, of course, but to him, it was just good old Tara Tamara. Hey! He put his paintbrush down, he raised his hands, and said, "Tara Tamara, how are you?" And she ran up to him and gave him a big hug and said, Oh, Uncle Key," because everybody called him Uncle Key. "Uncle Key, oh, it's so good to see you again. Well, tell me what you're doing here." And Dr. O'Toole Talltale said, "Well, we've come up to view the trolls, and I'd like to introduce you to my son and his friends and a good friend of mine." And so she introduced Mrs. Margaret Maplethorne, the toy shop witch. She was there because she had helped drive. And then she said, "This is my son, Timmy Tommy Toby." Timmy Tommy Toby did what he had been trained to do by his mother and his father. He stood up, he shook Uncle Key's hand, and he said, "I am very pleased to meet you, sir. And this is his good friend, Curtis Cuttlefish." And Curtis came up, and he had been trained very well. So he said, "I'm pleased to meet you, sir." And he shook his hand. And here's his other friend, Kwame. And Kwame, who had not been quite as trained, sort of waved his hand and said, "Hi." Well, that's not the polite way to meet adults, but that's okay. He said, "Hi." And Uncle Key just laughed and said, "Hi, how are you doing?" And then Uncle Key looked down, and there was this other little kid, a little Japanese kid. He was wearing this funny hat. It looked like, well, if you go to pictures of the old British explorers in Africa and India 150 years ago, they had what was called a pith helmet on. It was a funny-looking big round hat, and it was solid. It wasn't floppy like a baseball cap, and it was sitting right on his head. And when he moved his head, it kind of like shimmered a little, as though it had some reflective quality, but otherwise it looked like just a plain old white hat on this little Japanese kid. He was dressed in a beautiful white overalls and nice little shoes, and he was so polite. And Tarotul Talltale said, "And Uncle Key, I'd like to introduce another friend of ours. This is Ayatsuri Ningyo." Well, she didn't say Ayatsuri Ningyo Robot, and there was a reason for that, because she didn't want Uncle Key to know he was a robot, because if she did, he'd reach into his back pocket for some tools and try to take him apart. That's how Uncle Key was. So she just introduced him and said, "This is our little Japanese friend visiting from Japan, and we thought we'd have fun and take him up to see the trolls." "Oh, very good. Yes, there's going to be a troll trip in just about half an hour now, I think, from Mr. Tutty's Grocery and Emporium." "Yes, we know, and we're all going to get. I saw the trolls in Apple Knoll t-shirts, too." So Uncle Key looked at her and gave her a big hug and said, "Look, now, the restaurant is closed this morning and for breakfast and for lunch, because I'm putting up a new sign, I'm painting my door, but you know what? When you come back from your troll visit and your sightseeing, you get your t-shirts and you come on over. I'll give you a free meal, care of Uncle Key." Oh, well, who hadn't heard of Uncle Key's restaurant down way down in Skedaddle? But nobody knew where it was. It was like a hidden secret, except Dr. O'Toole Talltale knew. So they gave him a big hug. All the boys now shook his hand, were very polite, but Squeaky Toy, as you know it, Squeaky Toy, gave him a big bow and said, "Domo arigato, Uncle Key-san." Oh, Uncle Key was very impressed. What a polite little boy. Oh, and they walked off. Well, Uncle Key was feeling really kind of good. His favorite student had shown up, and there he was, and they were walking away. He waved, he turned around, and who did he see? Marching up to him, Gustav Panier, GP, and he had his digital recorder, and he had his camera, and he had his Washington Gumption University hat on, WU, woo, and he walked up to Uncle Key. Did he say, "Pleased to meet you, sir," and shake his hand and be very polite? No, not GP. He was an ethno journalist. Did he try to ask him in a way that said, "I've heard about this great restaurant and I'd like to see"? No, indeedy. What did he say? He said, "Hey, old man, do you know where I could find Uncle Key's cafe?" Well, there are ways to approach people and ways not to approach people. And that was a way not to approach people. And Uncle Key certainly thought, "Oh, wait." He said, "Well, excuse me, how can I help you?" "Well, I'm looking for the famous Uncle Key's Cafe because I'm going to interview Uncle Key, which nobody has ever done before. And I want to bring that back and I'm going to write it up and publish it. It's going to be great. We're going to put it out on all the social media." Uncle Key looked at him and said, "Uncle, what's the name of the restaurant?" "Uncle Key's Cafe." Well, Uncle Key decided right then and there to do something that, well, people do all the time, but they really shouldn't. He told a fib. He did indeedy. And a fib is a lie. But a fib is a lie that you tell because it's better than not telling it. And he looked at GP and he said, "I'm sorry, sir. I don't recognize the name of that restaurant." And old GP said, "Oh, well, I was told it was here in Apple Knolls. I've come here to talk to Uncle Key, and I want to interview some trolls." Well, Uncle Key started to laugh at that one, because if you know anything about trolls, you know that you don't interview them. They might interview you while they're taking a bite out of your leg, but you don't interview trolls. They're not very amenable to that. But he didn't say anything. He said, "Okay, all right, this kid is crazy." So he looked at him and he said, "Well, you know, trolls. Now, we do have a sightseeing tour. You can go to Mr. Tutty's Emporium and Grocery Store and have a sightseeing tour." And Gustav Panier said, "That's for tourists. I'm not a tourist. I'm an ethnological journalist. I want to interview a troll. Can you help me?" Uncle Key thought. He said, "Well, you know, I've only been here a while myself. I don't know any trolls. But I know just the person you can talk to." Oh, well, GP was very interested in this. He said, "Well, tell me, who can I talk to? Who? What's his name?" And Uncle Key said, "Well, there's an old gentleman, lives just about a mile up the road there, and he's called Marvel Raptrack. And Marvel is quite the amazing gentleman. He's a little bit eccentric, and he's an inventor, It's okay, I suppose. And but he knows all about the trolls because he has traveled all these trails. He's lived there here forever and ever. He can tell you how to find trolls. If you want to interview a troll, I would recommend going to talk to him. And maybe he'll know where Uncle Key's cafe is. So Gustav Panier looked at Uncle Key. They said, oh, well, thanks, Daddy-O. That's a good one. I like that. Well, that's Daddy-O because that's hip talk, because they Daddy-O to anybody. It's kind of like, you're cool. So he said, yeah, thanks, I'll do that. And he went back to his Jeep, and he climbed in, he gunned the motor, and poof, took off down the road. Well, Uncle Key had described to him how to get there. I forgot to tell you that. And he said, just a mile up the road, take a right, you know, and it'll go up another little half a mile, and you'll see a big farmhouse, and you'll see a circus tent right in front. That's Marvel Rap Track. So, GP took off, roared down the road for a mile, came to a right, took the right-hand turn, roared up the road for another half a mile, and there he saw a farmhouse, and he saw a circus tent. And he thought, oh, well, this must be the place. So he roared into the driveway, stopped the engine, and climbed out. Well, meanwhile, back at Uncle Key's cafe, Uncle Key picks up his smartphone, and he calls Marvel Rap Track. He says, Marvel, hi, this is old Silly Wine here. You've got some crazy kid coming to talk to you, and I don't know what to say, but don't tell him about the restaurant. Well, he left a voicemail message because Marvel Rap Track wasn't answering the phone. He figured it would get through. Here's the problem with Feb sometimes. So, Gustav Panier gets out, and he walks around. There's nobody around. Where is everybody? I don't see anybody. He says, well, I think I'll go into the circus tent. Well, it is a circus tent. It's not a huge circus tent. I mean, it's not like it's a big top. But it's a circus tent. It's serviceable. He goes and he looks around, and there's a ring. There's sawdust down. There's a trapezes where you can play on the trapeze. And he thinks he sees some monkeys. Doesn't quite know, but he thinks there are monkeys up top. They're kind of like, chit-chit-chit-chit-chit, and gone before he can make them out. Huh. Well, this is kind of interesting. So he walks through the circus tent and walks in behind the circus tent. And there, in Marvel Rap Track's backyard, is a museum of experiments and inventions. And GP just doesn't know what to think. Well, first of all, there's a Jeep. Well, it was a Jeep. I mean, it looks like it started as a Jeep, but it certainly wasn't a Jeep. It was totally stripped down almost to nothing. And he could see the engine, he could see the wheels, he could see the steering wheel and the brakes. But that was it. What happened to the Jeep? Couldn't explain it. And he looked at some other contraptions. And there were contraptions everywhere. There were tables full of them. There were this, there were that. He was just overwhelmed. But where the heck is this Marvel Rap Track? And then, he heard a sound coming from above him. Now you see, this is important. GP did the same thing that 3T and all his friends did. They didn't look up. So he looked up, and there above him was the strangest contraption he had ever seen. And leaning over was this big old guy in goggles saying, hello, can I help you? And GP looked up and said, I hope so. And the guy looked down and said, well, what do you want? And GP said, I'm looking for Marvel Rap Track. Oh, well, Marvel was flying his ultralight. And if you don't know what an ultralight is, William, you have to Google it and look up the images. They're cool, cool, cool. There's a lot of stories about ultralights I could tell, but they're not pertinent right here. So the ultralight had very light wings and a little motor, and he sat in it just like you sit on a tricycle, really. And then you could fly because you're so light, it doesn't take a big motor. But Marvel Rap Track, being an inventor after all, had decided to change the motor a little bit so he could swivel the motor straight up, and he became a helicopter, which meant that he could float and stop and just look, and then he could put the motor down and then use his wings to scoot. And it was an electric motor. You could barely hear it. It wasn't like a big gas motor. So it was very quiet. And he said, okay, I'm coming down. And Marvel Rap Track floated down and landed as light as a feather on the ground. And he climbed out. Well, GP had to look up. Now, GP wasn't short, but Marvel Rap Track was big. He was tall. He was huge. And he had these big glasses and he had hair sticking out all over the place as if he'd never seen a comb in his life. And he had the weirdest clothes on because he had a plaid shirt on and he had plaid shorts on, and the two plaids didn't match. They were like kind of like red and green. And then he had bright, bright yellow socks and sneakers. And he came out, he took his goggles off and said, "Well, hello, young feller. What can I do for you?" GP said, "Well, I have a couple of things. I met this old geezer down at down the town there, and I was looking for Uncle Key's Cafe, and he'd never heard of it. I mean, tell me about it. He's probably got dyslexia or Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever they call it. So he told me you'd know where the restaurant was." Marvel said, "An old guy, huh? Gee, I don't understand that. It's the easiest thing to find down in Apple Knoll. Uncle Key's Cafe, it's right there, right in the middle of town. Well, you didn't see it?" "No, I didn't." Well, it's in the middle of town. I could show it to you. I could describe it to you. We'll get there. What's the other thing you wanted to do?" And GP said, "I want to interview a troll." Marvel Rapture, God bless his soul. He hid his smirk. He knew, "No, you don't want to interview a troll." But he said, "Well, here's this young kid." He says, well, why do you want to interview a troll?" And Gustav Panier draws up to his full 6 feet, 1 inch, and he says, "Because I am an ethnographical journalist, and nobody has ever interviewed trolls, and I'm going to be the first one. And then I'm going to interview Uncle Key, because after all, nobody's interviewed Uncle Key either, and I want to do that, and then I'm going to go back and publish him and become famous." Well, Marvel Raptrack almost fell over laughing because he thought to himself, "Well, if you go interview the troll, you may end up being gone." But he didn't say that because you want to be good to people. So he said, "Well, I tell you, Uncle Key's Cafe is in the middle of town. I think it's closed today because they're doing work on it. But it'll be open for dinner tonight, so you can always make it for dinner. Now, let me see. Trolls. So what Marvel decided to do is to say, okay, all right, he thought that he would send him up to the troll viewing station that Mr. Tutty's tour generally took, but he'd send him the back road, right? And he'd get to the same place all the tourists went, which was a nice, safe distance. You stood on a cliff, you looked through long telescopes, you could see the front of Troll Mountain, and you hoped that maybe you'd see some trolls walking around and stuff like that. But keep your distance. So he did. So he said, "Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you up to the best spot I know for seeing trolls." So he gave him directions. He said, "Now when you come out of here, go back to the main road and you take a right. And then you're going to go right, you'll be getting sort of north, northeast at that point. And then you want to swing west a little bit, northwest, because the road is going to change. And then you're going to come to a fork in the road. And just remember, always take the northwest fork. Don't take that southeast fork, because that's not going to do you any good. But take the northeast fork, and if you just go for maybe 10 miles, 15 miles, you'll find it. You'll know it. It'll be right there." He thought, "Jeepers, even I could make it here on that back road. It works. He's got a Jeep, after all." So GP said, "Really? Really? I can get to see trolls and stuff?" "Yes, indeedy. Just remember, when you get there, you head to the northwest, not the southeast." Well, GP was so happy. He said, "All right, I'm going." And he took off. Well, he took off in his Jeep, roared down the road, roared down to the main road, chugged up into the mountains, and decided that he would just have a good day for himself. So he pulled over a little bit, and he decided what he'd do is he'd turn on his holographic camera. Because with the holographic camera going, he could record his drive into the mountains, which would be really cool because, after all, then he could use that as like a beginning of his whole video he wanted to make. And he's driving into the mountains looking for the elusive trolls. So he did. He turned that on, and it was on top of his little UW flag or WU flag, his WU flag, and so he could turn it. And then he drove down the road again. And he took a turn, he took another turn. He came to the Y in the road, and he said, "Oh, that's right. A Y. Now, which way did he say?" He said, "Northwest, southeast." "Oh, I forget which way. I wasn't listening too well. Northeast, southeast. Well, I don't know which one it is. Let's try. Meeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch a monkey, out you go. This way, that goes you." And he pointed to the wrong road. He said, "Okay, I'll go this way." So he took off. Well, If you'd taken the right road, that would have brought him up to a bluff overlooking Troll Mountain, sort of on the northwest side, and that would be good. By going southeast, he took a road that would basically take him into a little bit of a glacier and troll hunting grounds. But might not be a good thing. But he didn't know that, so he took off. Yahoo! He drove down the road. He was cooking along. He was taking his holographic camera, taking round views to look like he's here and he's driving. He says, this doesn't look like, where am I? He was going higher and higher in the mountains. He was coming up and going around curves and switchbacks. He said, this doesn't seem like where I was sent. He drove and drove, and pretty soon the road, which had been nice and wide, got narrower and narrower, and then it got sort of a dirt road. And he said, oh, a dirt road. And he drove on a little bit more, and he stopped dead. Because right in front of him was a wall of ice. It was a glacier. And it was way up in the mountains. And he couldn't go any further. But right next to him, just a little bit down, was a little meadow. And right there was this rushing stream, a little waterfall coming off the glacier, and this beautiful, beautiful, creamy blue color stream, probably ice cold because it was coming off the glacier. And GP said, well, I guess I took the wrong road, but there's no reason why I can't incorporate this. Let's see what I can do. So he climbed out of his Jeep. And remember now, he had all this instrumentation and stuff. So he packed himself down. He took his video camera, and he took his still camera, and he turned on his omnidirectional mic that was on the Jeep. He had it hidden in flowers. He said, well, if there are any bees or hummingbirds, they might come by and make a noise. Bzzz, I get some audio out of this. This would be pretty good. And then he took his iPhone and put it in his pocket, and he had his stuff. And he said, okay, I'm going to go take some pictures of the river. This will be really, really good background information. Then I'll come on, maybe I'll have lunch, and then we'll go take off and see if I can find the trolls. So he did. He walked down. He left his little hat with the remote control camera in there on the seat. Didn't need it. Didn't need a hat at the moment. He walked down to the river. He stood on a stone. He watched the river go by. He started taking pictures of the stones and the river and the glacier and the sky and the trees and everything. He was having such a good time. But there's one thing he should have done. He should have looked behind him. Because if he had been looking behind him, he would have seen the trolls arrive. Well, my dear William, that is the end of chapter one. We've got GP on his roll to go to the trolls, and he's up there, and he's going to find out what trolls are like. Oh, and by the way, Marvel Rap Track never picked up the voicemail from Uncle Key. When he did, he went, oh, well, what can I say? And that was that. And that's the way GP found himself into the greatest adventure of his life. But I'm going to tell you that tomorrow, or the next day, as chapter two. And that will be Meetings with the Trolls, or some other chapter like that. At any rate, I hope you have a wonderful night, William. You have a good sleep, and I will tell you the next chapter as soon as it's done. Love you, big kid.